Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Alan Levy Show. It's a pleasure to be here today with you. It is Monday, February 11th, 2008, and we are live, and it's 3 p.m. Eastern. First, I'd like to introduce you, Hillary, who's my co-host. How are you, Hillary?
Hi, Alan. Doing good. How are you?
Very good. A little cold up here, though, Hillary.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more. It's sunny and gorgeous. I thought it was summertime already in February.
Well, of course, you're in California, in L.A., and I'm in freezing in New York, and it's about 6 degrees.
Yeah, but we're covering 3 hours and 3,000 miles, and we're on the same show right now, so it's
That's
pretty great.
Correct. Well, you're hearing the show live. The archive of this show will be available around 30 minutes after it's done. You could find that archive at a number of places. You could find it at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. That's my profile. It's also available on iTunes and through an RSS feed if you'd so like. We are very excited that we have a special guest today. Joseph Jaffe is our guest on my show today. We're very excited that he's joining us. His background is well documented. I'm going to give you some brief snippets, and we're going to get into more details of what Joseph's doing and where his attention has been lately. But Joseph Jaffe is president and, as he calls, the chief interrupter of Crayon, which is a marketing company. He's also a senior fellow at the Center of Digital Future at the USC Annenberg School, and he's also lectured part-time at NYU's Stern School of Business and Cornell's Johnson School of Business and Syracuse University. Joseph Jaffe's blog, popular blog, is Jaffe Juice, which provides daily commentary on all things marketing, and you could join the conversation at www.jaffejuice.com. How are you, Joseph?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for being on the show. And, you know, many times when I interview, and I've interviewed a number of people on my show on Blog Talk Radio, there's just, you know, we're digging and finding things to talk about, and there's so much to talk about with you because you have such a fascinating career, and your focus of business is so interesting. But what I found to be, you know, really interesting, of course, is the title of your new book, which is Join the Conversation, which I've really enjoyed because it's a similar concept that I've been promoting. I hope you haven't coined it or patented it yet, but Join the Conversation is what Blog Talk Radio is all about. So thank you for being here.
You know, thank you for having me on. And I can tell you something. If I had patented the phrase "join the conversation," that would probably be the most disingenuous thing I could ever do. In fact, you know, one of the things I write as the book almost concludes, I draw and I direct people to the book's website, which is jointheconversation.us. It's actually .us, but it's aptly pronounced .us. And I actually invite them to become authors or co-authors of the blog, of the Join the Conversation blog. And the whole point is that at the end of the day, this is not my conversation. And quite frankly, it's not your conversation as in the readers, but it is our conversation. And I love the idea of being able to convert and transform and invite readers, passive readers, to become active writers or contributors to continue the conversation. I feel that is probably a lot more true to the spirit of Join the Conversation than certainly patenting the phrase.
Right. Well, I was being facetious on that, but I appreciate
that. I know. No, trust me, I tried. It was taken. I'm kidding.
Well, I always, you know, the Blog Talk Radio, we call it the Citizen Broadcast Network. It's our hosts, and here we have thousands of them. They're all citizen broadcasters. We're all amateur broadcasters. We don't have radio experience, but we're in this game now of creating content, and we're amateurs, and it's proven to, you know, where we've gotten some tremendous people on Blog Talk Radio, like Yoko Ono and so on. But I when people talk to me about, you know, oh, I get nervous, I said, no, this is just a conversation. That's what we're doing now, and so we're here with you today. Mm. How long have you been in this? You know, of course, this new media space is new, but how long have you been really focused on this?
Well, I'll tell you in a second, but, you know, the one thing I was going to tell you as well is I've done 103 episodes of my own podcast, which is also called Jaffe Juice. And the funny thing about it is that the part of the show that I am the worst at is the kind of canned stuff. It's the beginning where I go, it's a very special Tuesday, welcome to episode 103. Of, you know, it's that stuff that I kind of mess up every time, and it's just being natural and talking to a co-host or a guest or ranting or doing whatever I do, that just comes so naturally. So I couldn't agree with you more. To answer your question, I've been a marketer, I've been an agency guy, but don't count that, you know, don't count that against me. I probably have been doing this for about 6 years where I left the agency world and decided to really blaze my own trail, so to speak, by staying true to myself and carving out a new way of working, a new philosophy around what I call new marketing for a new consumer, based on a very simple truth, which was that the world was changing and the consumer was changing, but yet marketing was not and needed to. I've been writing and training and speaking and lecturing and building marketing architecture and frameworks, etc., around this idea that there's got to be a better way to communicate, to converse, to connect, and ultimately to build that kind of loyalty and trust and rapport and relationships that everybody ultimately covets, but not many marketers can achieve these days.
Well, it's highly disruptive thinking, and you're really forcing people, you're pushing people to companies particularly, I see. I mean, not just companies. I mean, they're out there utilizing old means for reaching customers, whether it's the one-to-many or you're banging them over the head or media companies have a certain approach. You're forcing people to change that way, that approach, and how they converse and bringing people into the conversation. Is that correct?
I am. I'm forcing them and kind of I'm trying not to pull any punches and ultimately, you know, I think the point is that this is the truth and not necessarily what I say but what I represent, which is the fact that your consumers are talking about you, and sometimes they're saying great things, probably most of the time they aren't, and I think marketers for too long have lived blissfully unaware, or maybe aware but choosing to remain ignorant and almost deaf in their ivory towers. And it's been this belief that if I don't see it, it's not there. If I don't hear it, it's not there. The only problem today is these marketers are often being pulled down, kicking and screaming from those ivory towers. And the consumer coup has begun. So I feel that the message, in a way, I might be the messenger, and I don't care if they try and shoot me or not, but at the end of the day, I'm bringing a message that I think is representative of the way the world is changing and the way that the world is going to be run. And it is going to be run by citizens and citizen journalists, ultimately, like you and I.
Definitely.
Well,
when did you start Crayon, Joseph, just for our listeners?
Started Crayon October of 2006. So
okay.
About a year and change.
So we started Blog Talk Radio in September 2006, which is, you know, around the same time. Very interesting. What we're seeing it happen now in total disruption, I mean, the radio, look what's happening with the radio industry. And Blog Talk Radio is really a new form of radio almost. It's just empowering people to have a platform and a means for communicating. But it's, you know, hundreds and hundreds people laid off, made people that are in big positions earning huge sums of salaries are now out of jobs at CBS and Clear Channel and others.
Mm-hmm.
Look what's happening in newspapers. You know, I just got the last issue of Sports Illustrated, where my favorite New York Giants won. It looked like it was 18 pages, the entire magazine. You're saying these things are happening, but they're actually happening now.
Yeah, and the thing is that ultimately, what many of them have in common. One thing that I talk about a lot is that content is king now more than ever. That said, there are a couple of very, very key differences. One is I still think the mainstream media doesn't have a realistic or even an accurate definition or description of what makes great content, because what might look to the professional or the director as really lousy content, myself filming somebody or one of my friends ramming their head into a wall and putting that onto YouTube, the fact is the consumer gets to choose what is great content and what is not great content. And I think on one level, you've had mainstream media creating content that is stale and trite and contrived and one-dimensional and unemotional, in a sense, very static. Now, I will say one thing. They've done a much better job now at being able to try and create elements of conversation, particularly the newspaper industry, in terms of allowing comments and trackbacks and tagging, et cetera, et cetera. But, of course, all of that content is monetized through advertising. And the problem with that advertising is there is too much clutter. As I wrote in my first book, Life After the 30-Second Spot, I said the problem is fourfold. One, there is too much clutter. Two, consumers aren't as dumb as they used to be. Three, there are unacceptable levels of wastage, just unacceptable levels of wastage. And four is creativity sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the problem is as long as, I mean, look at the Super Bowl from a couple weeks ago. You know, I mean, maybe I should put you on the spot now, Alan, and ask me to and name as many commercials as you can remember from the Super Bowl, which was 2 weeks ago, not even.
Yeah.
Do you want to see how well you could do or how badly? I mean, the point, of course, is maybe you're going to remember 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. Well, there were like 30 or 40 or 50 advertisers that shelled out almost $3 million at the opportunity to be remembered.
It's fascinating. We have anyone would like to call in, we can take live calls, and we would hope to. It's 347-677-0649. It's 347-677-0649. The chat room is open, and we have some of our friends in there. And if anyone would like to ask a question, you could ask a question through the chat room as well.
I think we have someone on the line, Alan. You want
to? Yeah. Why don't we take a call? Why don't you bring them on?
All right. Let's pick it up. 973. Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
Good. How are you?
Hey. How you doing, Joe?
Hey. How's it going?
Good. Thanks so much for being on the show. Really excited to have you on the network.
It's great to be here.
Well, first of all,
Havens, everyone, if you're listening.
Well, hey, I got a copy of the book. Thank you very much. And, of course, being the ego surfer that I am, I went right to page 110. You were kind enough to keep in my thoughts from the wiki. And I wanted to comment on what an awesome idea that was, Alan, you probably knew this because I know you have the book, but Joe actually put up a wiki on his site for a while saying, if you'd like to contribute your thoughts, obviously it's a great methodology of contributing to a conversation, we'll use these, or this is a chance we'll use these in the book. So it was a great marketing idea, and of course I was thrilled that, you know, he even just kept it up on the wiki, and then let alone that it made it into the book. But anyway, what
unedited.
Other ideas? I'm sorry?
Unedited.
Well, really appreciate that. And what's been the response? My question is, this type of thing is really bold. I mean, you know, people putting up whatever comments in the wiki and then printing it. What's been some of the response to that and other aspects of the book?
You know, I don't know that people, I mean, I look at the wiki and I understand the power and the potential and really the impact of what I did, or maybe I should say what you did. And I don't know that anyone is. I'm waiting for whether it is in fact ironically whether it's it wouldn't be a blogger because it's so natural to bloggers. So would it be the mainstream media to pick up and say, wait a second, this is kind of different. This is pretty amazing. This has never really been done before, and it hasn't. Where literally unedited. Original content of a book, of a published book by John Wiley and Sons, was created by an unfiltered by a community, and I think that you know, it's funny because I look at these things and these things excite me more than you could ever know, because this is ultimately the gem, this is a nugget, this is a jewel that people need to recognize or give credit to. Maybe not give credit to me, but give credit to the actual idea itself. But the book itself seems to be getting really good reviews. And now my sole mission is to make sure that I get it in the right hands, in enough of the right hands. I don't need to sell hundreds of thousands of copies. I just want to make sure that people that need it the most get it in their hands.
Well, one way to do it is through platforms like Blog Talk Radio, where we can certainly, we have many, many authors that come on here and talk about their books and have conversations around their books and welcome people to call in and actually ask questions about it. You know, I'm looking in here and you have the five ways you can join the conversation. These are some really helpful things. I mean, you go into real detail on how to accomplish some of these objectives.
Now, let me ask you a quick question, actually. We may as well try and experiment, see if it works. Give me the call-in number.
Yeah, 347.
Yeah.
677-0649. Why don't you Twitter it out and
I just did.
Well, you can see the, but you could also give out this URL. If in the show page, this, the URL is right there, you can just Twitter out the URL. You can find that easily by just going on the homepage, and my name will be there, and that'll be the chat box. And there are people chatting right now as we speak, and you can send it out on Twitter and see who would come on. And we have a show. Our number one host, interestingly, is Fly Lady. I don't know if you have heard of her. Have you heard of the Fly Lady?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, her name is Marla Silly, and she has a community that is 460,000 people. And she's the largest Yahoo group. That's a Yahoo group community. The next largest, I think, has 60,000 people in it. And Marla has never been on Facebook, has never been, barely was on MySpace, and she's built this huge community, and it's been fascinating to see her. She's never been on Twitter, but here it is. She's talking to real people, and she sends out 7 million emails a day, and her focus, of course, is conversation and helping people improve their lives. And what she's been able to do with Blog Talk Radio is do live shows here and have her recorded shows, but she'll get up to 2,000 live listeners on the line at any given time, and maybe 20,000 downloads on an archive show, which is, those are big, that's media.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
And she's been written two bestsellers without a publicist. So
yeah, very grassroots.
So we'll
community.
See if people call. But anyway, John, thank you for calling and your question.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks again, Joe.
Thanks, Sean. Take care.
John's famous. He's in the book. I'm excited.
Yeah, he's in the book.
He didn't even have to qualify himself. He just had to be plugged into the conversation. I mean,
yeah. It's interesting. When I first got involved in the space, I got in. I'm a telecom. My background's in telecom, and my dad was ill with lymphoma in March of 2006, and I created a blog for him. I never really blogged before. I was, again, new to this entire space. What attracted me to you, really, was your book title, Join the Conversation, which, you know, it's just, again, as I told you, fascinating, and it's exactly what we're all about here. But as I kind of thought about Blog Talk Radio and what I wanted it to be, and I wanted people to have conversations, and I wanted them archived, and I wanted them to be able to use a phone, any kind of phone, and that's what we built. And when I first went out to the New Media Expo, I think it was called the Podcast Expo in September 2006, you should have seen the reaction that I got, the looks on people's faces. What do you mean it's unedited? What do you mean you're using a phone? You're not using digital equipment and mixing? I said, no. I mean, people can... And it really has, you know, it kind of got poo-pooed almost, which is, you know, it's different and somewhat disruptive. What tools do you use? I mean, are you using your digital recorder? Are you recording interviews where people are calling in? How are you facilitating that on the Jaffe Juice podcast?
Well, it's funny because I part of me wants to keep it as simple and bare bones as possible. And so I have a $40 Logitech headset that I bought from Staples. And I also have a karaoke microphone that I bought for $30, which I use for kind of roving reporter type of interviews. And then I have a lot of free software like Audacity, which is free. But I also, to record conversations, which I obviously use voice over IP, I use a piece of software called PowerGramo. I also have Cass Blaster, which is from Adam Curry and Pod Show. And, you know, Cass Blaster's $50 and Audacity's free. And then I'm subscribed to Libsyn and I pay $20 or $30 a month. And, you know, when all is said and done, the recurring charges are virtually non-existent. It's just web hosting. And literally for under $100, I think anybody can become a podcaster and fairly good at it as well. So I've kind of tried to stay away from Edirol and M Audio and all these fancy pieces of equipment, because I think that part of the message that needs to get out is the fact that this really is, the barriers to entry are so low. Now, that said, I was just at PodCamp Nashville this weekend, and the point that I try and impress upon people is, yes, the barriers to entry are so low, and anybody can do it, but to do it well and to be consistent and to kind of grow an audience and maintain and nurture that audience, it takes time. It takes a lot of time. And I think that's the kind of, not contradiction, but that's the double-edged sword, which is, it's easy to get in the game, but to do well in the game, you've got to be prepared to make a commitment.
That's a good point. We see that on our network, too, because there is a variety of people who come in to do shows and varying levels of dedication and, you know, ambition to push their show and really do the legwork themselves and plan it out. You know, a lot of people just want to try it out, but yeah, I think in a lot of ways the cream does rise to the top when you see the effort is very apparent and obvious. So it's a good point. Even though it is easy to get in, it's not easy to do a really good job, right?
Exactly.
Now, you say the podcast is the most underutilized, one of the most underutilized tools. And why do you think that is? I mean, in terms of a new marketing approach, is it because of the challenge with it, or maybe there is no challenge? Why is it the most underutilized?
You know, I think that certainly, I mean, if you take an area that Crayon was involved in quite, and still is, quite extensively, Virtual World and Second Life, that seemed to get swept up in the mainstream media, or by the mainstream media. And unfortunately, most people out there are parrots or sheep, in the sense, and whatever the mainstream media tells us to be aware of or focus on, that's what we do. And you've got this unassuming category or this growing groundswell called podcasting. And, you know, what I said to PodCamp Nashville this weekend was the following. I said, in a way, there's kind of a parallel universe. Print and magazines, they have blogs as their nemesis, so to speak. Television has maybe, you know, whether it's YouTube or video blogs or some of the burgeoning video platforms, but radio's nemesis is podcasting. And ultimately, there's a bigger strategic reason why I'm so excited about it. Think about the amount of time you on a daily basis spend not at home and not at work. In other words, whether it's watering the plants, taking the dog for a walk, commuting to or from work, going to the gym, going for a run, whatever the case may be, being in your car. Ultimately, where the web might own the workplace and television might own, although it's changing, the home, what runs or what owns the kind of on the road, the other category, sitting on a plane, stranded on the tarmac or in the air, commuting or taking a ride in a cab? There is nothing that owns that moment. And that moment, I think, is podcasting's opportunity to really own that kind of, you know, that audio experience. And, of course, everything from theater of the mind to the fact that really when you're listening to something in your ears, there really is this intimacy, almost this captive, this voluntary or permission-based captive audience. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, you know, this opportunity right now is for that small little mobile MP3 player or telephone ultimately, or, you know, to own. Now, I think that you're going to see some tipping points soon, and I think the tipping point is going to be every single car is going to come, already a lot are, pre-fitted with essentially an MP3 player kit. And once there is Wi-Fi or there is internet connectivity in cars as well, in terms of being able to stream or be able to connect to certain base stations, you're going to have a compression, in a way, between when audio is created and when it is ultimately deployed, and a compression between when people send in audio comments to when they in fact hear the response to them, to the point where, take Blog Talk Radio, to the point where ultimately we are in a live type of scenario, a real-time scenario. The only difference is that it's being run by citizen journalists. So really, it's not that unlike what you're doing as well.
No, I appreciate that. It's been a frustrating, I mean, although we've produced more than 52,000 broadcasts since we launched, I mean, literally from no content on the site, I put the three words together, blog, talk, and radio, to 52,000. It's still not, people are, I don't know, resistant. I think that this is just new technology. It's live. It's interactive. I think we're early, and I think what you're saying is that we're going to be in that place. The only way to democratize media is to provide them with the tools and the capabilities of being able to have that platform. And that's why I'm so excited about Blog Talk Radio and some of these other platforms, because everyone has a phone or any kind of device, and they can do this from wherever they are. It's very important. One of the other things I wanted to talk to you about was one of the other big challenges is the monetization side of it, because people can be committed to doing these podcasts and you can build an audience, but it does take a lot of time, just like blogging takes a lot of time. Anything that like this is definitely going to be a time drain. What do you feel it's been a challenge for most people to monetize their audio content? Or do you feel it's not? Or do you feel it's no?
No, no, no. I'm glad you brought it up because I think that listening again to the people at PodCamp Nashville, there was almost in a way a kind of an abundance of too much time being devoted to this idea of how do I make money? How do I make money? How do I sell advertising? How do I get and it, to me, it's kind of cart before the horse. Ultimately, what's important here is to invest. And I don't know what that magic, what that milestone is. Is it a certain number of episodes? Is it a certain amount of time to really cut your teeth and become comfortable? It may be both. It certainly is audience as well. Like it or not, there has to be a certain degree of size of audience. It does not have to be a mass audience, but it certainly has to be meaningful enough or influential enough. You know, I've done 103 episodes of my podcast, and it was only just about 10 or 12 ago that I actually brought aboard the most exciting sponsorship deal that I had since I began, which was believe it or not, with the USPS and their magazine, their innovation magazine called Deliver Magazine. Mm. And they came aboard and sponsored, actually partnered with me on 12 episodes where we actually worked and customized a specific deal where they create 12 conversation starters which are aligned with their editorial content in Deliver Magazine. That's DeliverMagazine.com. I just had to do that.
DeliverMagazine.com.
And ultimately, and so they create conversation starters, and then I respond to them, and my community then responds to me responding to them. And it took a while to put together, and it's been incredibly fulfilling for me on a variety of levels. But it took time. It took 85 or 88 episodes. And I think it took a lot of commitment and investment. So I think it's one of those truths, which is if you love what you do, the rest will follow. If you're doing things for the right reasons, and if you know why you're doing something, then advertising or support or endorsement or sponsorship or whatever you want to call it, kind of comes naturally. Specifically, when you're not really even looking for it.
Well, we have one of the benefits of Blog Talk Radio, and I have kind of pieced together this platform, is, make something available, provide a tool that people can use, and they come on and use these tools to create audio content very easily, podcasts and live interactive events. And then, provide an ability for people to create content, distribute it, which we have in our program guides and our flash players, and then lastly, monetize. And in the last 2 months, we have been aggressively out there talking to digital agencies about Blog Talk Radio, the platform, and particularly our content. And I must tell you that the feedback we've gotten has been terrific. They really love the fact that they can go and target what they want. If they want 500,000 impressions on sports, well, we can go there. If they want 250,000 in college sports, I can go there too. If they want 50,000 in March Madness, well, think about drilling down all to that level. And as we've been, and our hosts know, and many of them are in the chat room now, I mean, they're many of them are participating in this in rev share and joining in the revenue. So I think it's an interesting model. But the point I wanted to make is that the feedback we've been getting from traditional radio advertisers has been very positive. So if that's helpful, I think, again, what you said early on is that it requires volume. They're looking. They can't go in and buy, you know, 2,000 listeners. They may be. I mean, certainly not national accounts. But so one of the issues is volume. One other question I had to do with corporates and how corporates can. How do you propose that they get into the conversation? A lot of conversations we have are with corporations, and we're proposing to them to create stations on Blog Talk Radio, so they're part of the conversation.
Well,
is that what you're recommending companies do, be part of the conversation somehow?
Well, I mean, in the book, and you asked the question a little bit earlier, I talk about the five stages. They're almost in order, which is listen, then respond, then join or be invited to join, then catalyze, and then start. And in all five cases, a conversation. So monitoring and listening and getting a better sense as to what's being said out there is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, it comes down to, well, wait a second. We don't need to force this or create this or contrive this. The conversation might be already out there. The opportunity, the engagement, the passion, the frustration might already be there. All we have to do is, if we're aware of it, you know, like John who called in earlier, he was aware of an opportunity, and so he participated, and so he was in the game. So in many respects, I like the idea of going direct to consumer. You know, it's the ultimate, it's not the pharmaceutical practice, but it's the other one, which is this ability to actually go out there and why not be direct? Why not kind of be Dell? Why not cut out the middleman? Why not create a platform where a brand can engage a consumer directly? Of course, I think, you know, what you guys are doing is you provide that platform, or at least the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But why would a brand want to go and advertise in a sea, in literally a tidal wave of clutter on radio, when they can actually create the content or curate that content themselves?
You know, I have to tell you, I've never spoken to you before today, but you seem to be, I must have sought your counsel somewhere else or in some other lifetime, because as I've made the decisions I've taken here and how we're building Blog Talk Radio seems to fall squarely in line with the types of things you're saying now, so which is fascinating to me. By the way, it's 347-677-0649. That's the call-in number. We'd love to take your call. There's a question in the chat room by Brett. And we should find that. Hillary, did you find it? Brett's a little shy. He doesn't want to call in. Of course, it's just a conversation. So, Brett, please do call in. It's not a problem. But why don't we get to that question, Hillary, if you could find it, about Target stores.
Yeah. I was just reading up about it because I wasn't up on it. But maybe Joseph knows more about it than...
I think I know what the question is.
Okay.
Right.
It's about Target and the bloggers and their marketing kind of... policies, I guess.
Right.
Maybe you can speak to it.
Right. Well, and how they essentially dissed the blogosphere.
Yeah.
You know, this is crazy. I mean, ultimately, it's suicidal in a sense for a brand that really has managed to create that emotional connection with a much more engaged and valuable and consumer compared to the Walmarts and the Kmarts of the world,
sure,
to come out with such a ridiculous position. For those people that aren't aware of it, it's essentially, you know, long story short, Target came out with a series of print ads or billboards that were depending on your position, offensive in a way. Positioning women in, particularly women in a light that certainly was not flattering from a sexual standpoint. And I think one blogger that really focuses on the effect that media has on children, and from a parenting standpoint, sent a very, what I thought was an innocuous letter to Target saying, do you have a position on, ultimately, do you have a position on this? And what is your response, and do you believe that potentially that this series of, or this commercial, or the series of commercials were in fact ambiguous or maybe not offensive, but somewhat dangerous in a sense? And the response was, and I'll read it to you, good morning, Amy. Thank you for contacting Target. Unfortunately, we are unable to respond to your query because Target does not participate with non-traditional media outlets. This practice is in place to allow us to focus on publications that reach our core guest. And then it says, once again, thank you for your interest and have a nice day. And you could probably substitute have a nice day with the phrase something that ends in the word you. And it was just incredible to me, first of all, to think about bloggers as non-traditional media outlets, to even compare them to the mainstream media, and then to actually say, basically, not only do we not care about you, but we don't care about your audience as well, because we don't believe that ultimately people that create blogs and comment on blogs and read blogs are in fact likely to walk into a Target store. Unfortunate, short-sighted, maybe even not accurate, maybe even taken out of context. And I want to come back to that in a second, because, you know, I think that at the end of the day, what we really saw here was the fact that brands struggle to be able to make contact with their consumers directly and respond to them. I think the problem here, what was so short-sighted in this particular case, was the fact that here you had a brand, as I said, that has established so much goodwill and brand equity, almost destroy it by saying, you're not important to us. And here's the point. You know, there's that old saying that says, it's not who you come to a party with, it's who you leave with that counts. It doesn't matter what this person said, and maybe they were completely taken out of context, and maybe they were too junior, and maybe they said something that didn't reflect the corporate position of the company, but there was no follow-up. There was no follow-through. There was no, quite frankly, crisis communication. There was no ability to actually go back to every single blogger that commented on this saying, wait a second, you took this comment out of context. We absolutely have a point of view when it comes to blogs or bloggers, or even better still, you know what? We actually don't have a clue when it comes to bloggers, but we are rethinking it, and we are committed to being better, and we are committed to not making this kind of mistake again. No humanity.
Yeah,
no humanity whatsoever. And I think that can endanger a brand and almost eradicate all that goodwill in literally just a couple of clicks.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that just, you know, it's a sea of companies like that. I mean, they're not there.
Have you found that, Joseph? Have you found these big companies not really knowing how to adapt to this new? I mean, your company Crayon seems to try to help them bridge that, but have you found them to be adaptable or just a little clueless sometimes?
Well, I mean, probably a little bit of both. I mean, I think companies want to change,
mm-hmm.
and I think that they all sense this need to change, or a need that if they don't change, they'll continue to fall further and further behind or back or apart from their consumers. But yet there is still so much bureaucracy and
mm-hmm.
And siloed mentality and fear of change and fear of the unknown, coupled with a little bit of the fact that at the end of the day, there's a lot of hypocrisy and rhetoric. A lot of companies, they say they want to change, but when all is said and done, they prefer to basically, you know, maintain the status quo. And I always say this to marketers, you know, when I give presentations, I say, how many of you take the same route to work? How many of you drive the same way to work? How many of you stop off at the same Starbucks and order the same drink day in and day out? Human beings are hardwired to be routine.
Mm-hmm.
They're hardwired to resist change.
Sure.
And we have to almost force ourselves. We have to unlearn the propensity to maintain the status quo, and we have to force ourselves to evolve and adapt and change at least at the same pace as our consumers. So, you know, it's one thing to want to change. It's like going on diet. It's another thing to actually make a, you know, take a step in the right direction.
But here's in light of that, I want to give you an example of a large organization, probably one of the largest in the world, that is actively addressing how they communicate to the public and to themselves, and that is the Pentagon. A year ago, in October of 2006, we had an embed who was based in Afghanistan do live broadcasts from the front lines. He would call in every Friday morning at 11 a.m., and I would interview him, and he would be there, in whether it's Kandahar or Kabul, and he'd be talking about what's going on. And I thought it was fascinating. Here he is. He's in Kandahar, and he could take live calls, and we're talking about what's happening on the other side of the world, on the front lines of a war. Well, I sent that show. This is when Blog Talk Radio was only 3 months old. I sent it to the Pentagon. I had Amy, who contacted you, Joseph, and Amy sent an email to Communication Department. 4 hours later, we got an email back from the Pentagon, believe it or not, saying, interesting. Well, in February 2007, the Pentagon created a new department, called New Media, and they set it up with that individual who emailed me that day in October of 2006. And now the Pentagon has two shows on Blog Talk Radio. One is the Defense Bloggers Roundtable. Another one is called AmericaSupportsYou.mil. I was invited to the Pentagon last week. I went there on Monday to present to them about this tool, and they're very excited about it. And they really need a way to communicate their messages better, and they're opening up to this type of medium. So if there's hope for the Pentagon, if there's hope for all these major companies, if the Pentagon is open to this medium.
Yeah, I'll drink to that.
So it's terrific. It's fascinating. And I was with John Havens there, and we met with someone from the Air Force and the Navy, and they're like, wow. I mean, and I'm talking about having soldiers from the 101st Airborne set up profiles and have 1 hour a month, maybe, where they can interact live with their family and friends. Why not? Get their kids on the line. Talk to them. Have that conversation streamed live, just like this one's being done now, and then have it archived, and you can send it around to all your friends and family. Think about what that would do to motivate these soldiers and to their families. It would bring the world closer and bring them closer. And they really were interested, and they're interested in, and, you know, I'm continuing to have conversations with them about a number of things. So I do think there's hope for these major companies. Clearly, the advertisers that we're talking to and the companies that we're talking to about this platform they want to get involved. They want to understand how to reach their audience, which is, again, exactly what you're saying that people are hoping to do.
Right.
So, well, we have only a moment remaining here, and this has been a terrific...
Joseph, it's been great.
45 minutes. We could have gone on longer, but I don't want to be accused of overdoing it. I know we're not... This is not the term media snacking on Blog Talk Radio, which one of your friends has coined. This is more like a meal.
Well, and hopefully your listeners will want to come back for more.
Yes, they will. So we could find your podcast at where can they find them now? At JaffeJuice.com?
Yeah, the blog and podcast on www.jaffeJuice.com. That's Jaffe with two F's and one E, and they can subscribe to Jaffe Juice, to the podcast, through iTunes as well. And of course, if they want to find out more about the books, the one book is called Life After the 30-Second Spot. The other one is called Join the Conversation. Both are available on Amazon. And if they want to find out more about my company, it's at crayonville.com, crayonville.com.
Perfect. Well, hopefully we'll see you more on Blog Talk Radio. And we certainly, we're going to be planning to get together very soon to continue the conversation. So thank you,
yeah.
Joseph Jaffe.
You're welcome. Thank you for
having
me.
Thanks very much. Have a
pleasure.
Great day.
Bye.
I want to thank everyone for joining us today. It was an enlightening 45 minutes. Joseph Jaffe's really one of the top in his field, a visionary. And so I want to thank you. And Hillary, thank you very much for joining us as well.
Of course, anytime. Thanks,
great.
Everyone.
Want to hit the bumper?
I will do that. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining Alan and Hillary on The Alan Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to The Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.